Welcome to Impact Ministries 2014 World Changer Weekend, and this is your Friday evening Operation 1 Billion Report.
We have a strategy to reach 1 billion people. And there's a lot of things that are involved in this strategy. But one of the things that's involved in this strategy is the fact that we are starting Bible schools around the world. 300 third world Bible schools will reach 1 billion people in about 10 to 12 years. 1,000 Bible schools in third world countries will reach 1 billion people in about 3 to 5 years. And so our world changers help us support ministers that are not only preaching this message, but that are taking, you know, the message to the world and starting Bible schools in other countries and training leaders in other countries. And so one of these, by the way, there's steps over here if you come up on this side. One of these couples that you guys got behind last year sponsored a crusade in Central America. That I want them to come up and give you a little bit of report about the crusade, what they're doing, what they're planning to do, and how they're helping us fulfill our goal. Steve and Gwen Corrigan.
Thank you, brother. Amen. I was getting afraid to raise my hand there after a while. I didn't know you were going to call me idiot or stupid. Or I ain't raising my hand anymore.
Well, not in front of everybody.
Oh, okay.
He's so much nicer to the women, isn't he? I'm glad.
Come on, you can use this one.
Me up one notch higher than him because he's really loud when he sings.
1984, well, actually 1979, we made our first missions trip to Mexico. We came out of Mexico and went to John Osteen's missions conference that he held every Thanksgiving, and that changed the course of our lives forever. And, it changed the course of my life, and since she was connected to me, she went along. Because I said, honey, I can't, every time I pray, I get down and I see Chinese people, and then I pray for them, and then I see the black people in the great continent of Africa, and I pray for them, and then I see the Mexican people, and then I get frustrated, and I called Brother Osteen one day, and I said to him, because we lived in Houston for a while, so we became acquainted, and I said, Brother, I don't know, I feel like God's calling me to be a missionary, but I don't know where to go. And I told him that story. I said, I begin to pray, and I get a burden for one people group, and then it goes to another people group. And he said, well, brother, you're just like me. You've got a vision for the world, but do something lest you do nothing. Now, I don't know if that's good advice, you know, all the time for everybody, but it was a good word for me at that time because I thought, what can I do? And I thought, I couldn't think about going to China or India. I don't know why. It just seemed too far away, but I knew I'd get in my car and drive to Mexico. We moved to Guadalajara, Mexico, 1981, and we started learning Spanish. And at that time, I only knew the menu at Taco Bell. That was about all I knew. And we had a good message. I mean, we knew that God was good. He'd saved us. We'd been hippies. He saved us out of the hippie lifestyle and the drug and rock and roll culture. And we knew he was a good God. But somehow our message, there was always just enough leaven of religion. So, like Paul talks about in Galatians, the second chapter, that if we in any way think that we have something to do with making it happen, then we frustrate the grace of God. Now, it doesn't mean we don't do anything, but I like to reduce it to the most simplest form, and that is just saying yes to God. Yes to his righteousness. Yes to his forgiveness. Yes to his grace. That's my participation, embracing and saying yes. But I didn't know that part at that time. I mean, we always had, you know, it was always about trying to figure out a method or technique how to work God get God to do what we wanted him to do, and that's the message we preach. But nonetheless, you know, we experienced great success. And we lived in Latin America permanently for 15 years. We moved to Costa Rica after I was imprisoned in Mexico for preaching the gospel. I was in a federal penitentiary. I'm going to tell you that story tonight. I don't have time. I know I said that last year, but I keep coming back. See, I think they hope maybe I'll tell the story. Maybe next year I'll have more time. And then we moved to Costa Rica. We became worship leaders at a Bible school called Cristo al Mundo. We made a one-year commitment, and we ended up staying for almost 15 years in Costa Rica. We started a little Bible study in our house, and we had three people the first meeting. I think in 2 weeks we had 20 people coming. In 3 months, there were 70 people. And in 6 months, we had a church of about 500 people. I mean, revival was breaking out. We taught in that Bible school. One of our students, the first year of that Bible school, his name is Danilo Montero. He's now the pastor of the largest Spanish-speaking church in North America. It's called Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. And, I can't even get a hold of him. He's so busy. I wanted to just say, hey, don't you remember me? So God has been good. About around 1996, we became acquainted with Impact Ministries, and we were at a point of burning out. I mean, I'd just grown so weary of trying to get God to do what I wanted to do and make it work. And we were at a church in Kansas City, ministering, and I saw a book on the table that said Escape from Codependent Christianity. And I thought, codependent Christianity, how could that even be possible? But I thought, I need to read this book. And I think most of you probably share the same story that I share. It changed your life, and it brought things into focus, and the loose ends that I could never seem to fit together and get to work about this life that I'd found in Jesus, they began to make sense, and it began to fit together and to work in my life. Since 1996, we've focused mainly on doing leadership, marriage, husband and wife conferences. We've been married 41 years, and it just keeps getting better and better. We just celebrated our 41st anniversary last month in June. And so after living in Latin America that long, you know, I have a hard time talking about what I'm doing. I don't know why. I just, he's helping me, you know, to brag more. But, you know, God's gifted us supernaturally. I think it's because of our musical gifts to speak Spanish. When I speak Spanish, people ask me everywhere around the world where I go in Spanish-speaking countries, where are you from? Because, I mean, I'm as Irish as Guinness. You know, I mean, you can't get more Irish than I am. I mean, look at me. We go to there's an Irish festival in St. Louis every year, every April, and we go down there. And every year that I go, people ask me for my autograph. And I didn't even do anything, but I just look Irish. And I don't know how we are able to connect it. It's just, it's the grace of God. It's the call of God on our lives. Yeah, I can. Well, people ask me, where are you from? What country are you from? And I say, I'm from St. Louis. No, you can't be from St. Louis. You speak Spanish too good. Now, they don't know what my accent is, you know, because every Spanish-speaking country, just like English-speaking countries, like Alabama and Mississippi, it has a certain accent, you know, certain way of speaking.
I say singer here, singer. Are you a singer? And I went, wow, I never heard that, Wendy. That's my friend. And then St. Louis, they say singer. I said, I'm a singer. I like that better.
She's a lot of fun to be with. But one of the things that God has made in the forefront of our focus, we know that if we can reach leaders with this message and we can impact them, if I can get a pastor and his wife excited about the message of grace and what God has done, and you know, all of us have inherited the Christian tradition and religion that we have. We didn't put it together. I mean, when I was a little hippie, I got saved at a shopping center. I went to a Pentecostal church, and I remember distinctly thinking, you know, these people, I've been, at that time, I thought 20 years was a long time to be alive, you know, like most 20-year-olds. But I thought, here, I've lived 20 years, and this time, I never knew about Jesus, and these people have been doing it my whole life, so I need to listen to what they're telling me. And, you know, some ways that was good, and some ways that was bad. I picked up a lot of excess baggage, religious baggage. So we know that if we can impact pastors and leaders with this message, we've reached the church. I remember I was preaching, and there's a church in the crusade that Jim referred to that we did that World Changers played a big part in making it happen, or Impact Ministries. I sat the first time I preached at the church. It's the oldest Pentecostal church in Nicaragua. Nicaragua is a great country. What I love about going there is it's a Marxist government. Liberation theology that we've all heard about during the last couple of presidential elections. Liberation theology was born in Nicaragua, and it was a merging of some bishops in the Catholic Church with the Marxist Sandinista regime to redistribute the wealth. That's what liberation theology teaches. We take from the rich and give to the poor. That's what they think Jesus taught. And Nicaragua excites me to go there because it is somewhat dangerous, but there is still a strong, fundamental, evangelical Christian movement there. This church, the church in Matagalpa, I remember the first time I preached there several years ago, I was preaching on Grace and Peace. That was the name of my seminar. And Pastor Antonio Celedon, we went to his home afterwards, and he was, I was preaching some things. I try to push the envelope as far as I can, because I know that most of these guys, they come from a Catholic/Pentecostal background, and so it's just real, they just fall easily into the patterns of legalism. And I knew he was kind of nervous. I thought, I had three nights scheduled, and I thought, Lord, don't let him cancel. We need to go on with these meetings. And Antonio sat across from me, and he said, if I knew what you were going to preach on before you came, I would have never let you in my pulpit. This church, about 1,000 people. And I thought, boy, this is great, And he said, but now after I've heard you, I kind of like the way you talk about God. And we stayed up till past midnight that night talking about Grace and our his journey and my journey. And my background was the church I first went to after that shopping center was an Assembly of God, but it was not like the modern Assemblies of God. It was the classic old-time Pentecostal Assembly of God, and that's what Antonio was, so we could relate on a lot. We have focused on what we do is we take pastors and their wives. We raise the money to take pastors and wives to a preferably a resort or a retreat-type center. It's all paid for, and that gets them out there. And yes, I have to pay for people to come hear me preach. So I'm not ashamed, but I'm not, because it works. Listen, I'll do whatever it takes. And we invite we're going to people that, to the largest extent, they couldn't afford to pay to bring the ministry that we're given. They couldn't afford the plane tickets and the overhead and the cost of the, we invite pastors that are, their churches and their homes still have dirt floors in them. And they've never been to a restaurant that has tablecloths and people that wait on them. And they go to just a little sidewalk cafes. That's big time going out for them. So this is a big deal in their lives. And we stretch our budget to get the best hotels that we can or the best facilities available. And we get them in there, and I paid for everything, So I get to preach whatever I want. I'm not in their church anymore. And I tell them that on the first night, and they all laugh just like you do. Like, yeah, here we are. And I said, you're my guest. And we respect pastors when we go into their churches. We don't want to cause confusion or division or create a situation that's a problem for them. We started and pastored three churches in Costa Rica over a period of 9 years. And I know... the pressures and the struggles that pastors have trying to raise their families and have a normal life and yet be under the scrutiny of their churches. I wanted to read a scripture real quickly from the Amplified Bible. I had to borrow Alan's Bible because I didn't know I was going to be talking this long. I thought I was just going to give a little testimony or something. I borrowed somebody else's glasses. These are Charlie Murphy's glasses, another Irishman. I knew they had to be. it's John 1:17. For while the law was given through Moses, grace unearned, undeserved favor and spiritual blessing and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's what Jim was talking about. Verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Oh, I'm sorry, I read out of the wrong translation. Here it is. No man has ever seen God at any time. The only unique Son, this is the Amplified, the only begotten God who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father, he has declared him. He has revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him and he has made him known. And isn't that good news? I mean, you know, it says no man has seen God at any time. And when I first read that, I thought, that's not right. That's not right. And then I realized what he's talking about is really seeing him, really perceived. You know, we see things, but then we don't see. We hear, but we don't hear really. No one really understood what God was like. They weren't really had a clear picture, but the only begotten Son, he came and he declared him. He made him known. He brought him out into the open where he could be seen. And you know, that's our opportunity in this hour, in this generation that we're living in. This is our message. This is our calling. You know, a lot of times throughout my Christian life, and I'm sure through yours, you know, it's become all about me, about getting my act together, getting me straightened out, me becoming the best Christian I could be. And I've forgotten about there's a whole world out there that needs to hear this message. And just a little bit. Listen, to every one of you that are in this room, just the messages and just the words that you've heard tonight would revolutionize the lives of millions of billions of Christians and unbelievers around the world if they could just taste and see what we just take for granted and we can receive and have access to this wonderful ministry here and other ministries that are preaching this message of grace and God's love. We take the pastors down there and we start preaching to them. We build relationships, and God has just given us unique grace to do that. We spend a lot of time. A wise old missionary told me when we first started, he said, whatever you do, learn Spanish. He said, he'd been a missionary 10 years. He said, I've been a missionary 10 years, and I'll tell you what happens. You're in language school, and somebody finds out you can preach, and so they invite you to the church. You go with an interpreter, and you preach, and then a couple people get saved. And then but that night, you didn't get your homework done, you know, for language school because you're out preaching. Well, then they hear, hey, this guy can preach okay, and some people got saved. Some people got healed, and they invite you again. Pretty soon, you're a week behind in language school. You eventually end up dropping out for a semester. I'll catch up next semester. He said, I did that. I never went back. I'm still limited because I have to preach through an interpreter. Well, God put it on our hearts to learn the language, to develop relationship with the people. And that's what we're doing. We're bringing Jesus out into the open, God out into the open where he can be seen. I love the scripture in Genesis, the 15th chapter. It says that God took Abraham outside when he's making the promise to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, look up in the sky. Count the stars. How many can you count? And, you know, there's no record there that Abraham ever came up with a number. But I think God was saying to Abraham, I think God's saying to us, how far can you see? Look up. Lift up your eyes. Jesus said that too. He said, lift up your eyes. The fields are white, ready for harvest. You know what? I think of Abraham. I mean, I'm just, you know, this is just speculation, but to make a point. But, you know, if Abraham would have looked up and said, God, you know, I don't know. I can only see 1,000. I think that's all he would have got. I think we can lift up our eyes and we can believe God for 1 billion, don't you?
Yeah.
Won't you dream with us?
Whoa, come on.
To reach 1 billion souls with this message? I'm telling you, it is so easy. The crusade we just did in March, which Impact Ministries played a big part in making happen, and all you that are world changers and participate economically in supporting that ministry, we rented a vacant lot right in the central banking district of the city of Matagalpa. We did all the advertising and the radio announcements and television interviews. And every television interview I did, I ended up preaching. I mean, just because this message is so good, and just like Alan's, the video of Alan, and what is that guy? What was the, Steve Harvey. Yeah. I knew his name was Steve. That's a good name. just as his response was, this is good news. I want to know. I want to go to this church. And when we preach this message, I mean, the pastor sometimes they get uncomfortable because, you know, they've been preaching against sin and against everything's against. And we preach far. We preach about how good God is and not how hard it is, but how easy it is to know him and why it's a message of good news that God's not mad at us any longer. There is no outstanding debt. There is no outstanding charges before the court of heaven against us. They've been canceled. Jesus fulfilled the law. He satisfied it. So that message is received by unbelievers and believers alike. In that crusade, every night we had hundreds of people come forward. The last night was especially dramatic because when I gave the invitation, it was like a flood of people. In fact, it looked like the whole crowd came forward. I really don't know how to describe it. I wish I had video of it. But it looked like the whole crowd came forward and got saved. I mean, it was like an ocean, a mass that moved forward. We've been in contact with them since. And they are so excited by the positive, the converts that they've got. They're people that are excited about God, because they haven't been brought in under condemnation and fear. You know, if you get people saved by fear, you got to keep them saved with fear. You get them saved with a message of grace and life, and they just flourish and prosper in it. So we not only are here to give a report, to report what we're doing, but we want to thank all of you, all the people that support World Changers, Impact Ministries. The doors are open to us to do so much more. They just called us this weekend. Want us to come back to Matagalpa. You know, we're going to sing a song. I'm out of time. But, you know, I turned 63. And I was kind of bumming out because I thought, God, darn, I'm getting old and I haven't done all of it. There's a bunch of stuff I want to do. And the Lord, I felt like it was the Lord. You know, maybe it was probably, I don't know where it came from, but it came up out of inside of me, and that's where he is.
It was the Lord.
A voice said, oh, don't feel so bad. That's only 7 years in dog years. So, hallelujah, I got revitalized. Listen, if you're a baby boomer, we still rule. And if you felt like it, your opportunities have passed by and you haven't fulfilled the things that you dreamed of doing, let's dream again. We can dream for a billion. Let's lift up our eyes and look on the fields. They are white and ripe and ready for harvest. We've just got to go and put in the sickle. And I want to challenge you. If you want to go with me on a missions trip,
go.
Let me know. We'll go. We'll figure out a way for you to go. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I need to. Should I just use this mic here? Use the one I got.
That sound all right? That's my little sound check. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, God is good. God is good. And we take our music and it opens up the doors. It always has. And it's effortless for us because it's a gift. It just comes through. Sometimes we don't even sing very good, but it doesn't matter. You know? Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, singing in Spanish is wonderful. It's like a heavenly language. The way it flows out and goes, oh, I just love to sing in Spanish.
Can I use the guitar?
I get to talk. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm telling you what, some of you guys out here, you ever felt like you were a burnt stone? You've been offended, rejected, and, you know, looked down on. You've been vilified and besmirched. When's the last time you heard those words? I just read those words this last week in a translation in Nehemiah. It said, they were making fun of him and mocking him. What do you think you can do, you old Jew? You ain't no good. You can't build those walls. You can't do nothing for God. You might as well just get on out of here. And he said, don't listen to them. He said, don't be afraid. He said, God's going to fight for us. And They said, well, what are you doing out there in the rubble pile digging up stones, burned stones? You're going to try to build the walls of Jerusalem with the burned stones? And Nehemiah just didn't pay him any attention. He said the people came together with one mind and one accord, and they worked hard, and they built the walls. And they did the work that God called them to do, and it's not too late for you. If you feel like your old burnstone out there, just give it all to Jesus. I love to come here every year. I think I've been to about 12 out of 15 years. And I'm telling you what, I go home excited, more excited than when it came for sure, and renewed in the Lord. And I think every year, how can this conference, you know, whatever the name of the conference is, how's it going to minister to me? And I just gave up. It does every year, every year. So don't ever miss another one if it's possible. Don't ever miss another one. Stick with it.
This is Psalms 3. And it's a Psalm of David that says, Lord, many are they that rise up against me. Uh-huh. Many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for me in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. And we're going to sing the first part in Spanish. So you just get the flavor, you know. And then you can go out and eat Mexican food afterwards. And then we'll sing in English. You can join.
¿Cuántos son mis enemigos? Muchos se levanten contra mí. Muchos dicen de mi vida, no hay para él ni un Dios. Mas tú, Jehová, eres mi escudo, mi gloria y el que levanta mi cabeza. Mas tú, Jehová, eres mi escudo, mi gloria y el que levanta mi cabeza.
With us.
But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. One more time. Yes, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. My glory and the lifter of my head.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that set themselves against me round about. Sing with us.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Sing. My glory and the lifter of my head. Yes, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter of my head. Yes, thou, O Lord, art a shield.